Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY. Purposefully loving and appreciating you. A weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the
the love glow. Yes, yes, yes. I like the way you look at me with that love glow. It's all about the glow love. It's all about glowing love into the planet, globally connecting all of us, reminding ourselves that we are one, no matter what the shade looks like, no matter what the language is. We are one, we say it, but when we live it, sometimes it brings up issues. But you know, today we're here to help you glow. Glow in a whole new way. I like the way you listen to me when you listen to me with that love glow. Ooh, Just Cynthia is just sending out that love. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You know that? You make a difference because you are the place where God gets to express himself, herself, itself. You are the place where life becomes conscious of itself. Like, wow, I am life. I can feel life. And then when you understand this, when you grab this, when you embrace it, oh, my God, you can start living life fully. You can start tapping in. And when you tap in, you get all the information you want. Your intuition is always there supporting you and guiding you. How to be the love that you look for. How to blend worlds. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I am your host, Life Coach Ade. Thank you, thank you. I'm going to switch something up. I am your host, Life Coach Ade. Stop reading and talking. Stop it. Too early for that. Monday. Focus. Okay. Once again, I am your host, Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Did you know that? It's LifeConversationsRadio.com. All together now, LifeConversationsRadio.com. Don't go a day without Life Coach Ade because you want the sunshine to shine in your light. So when you get a dose of this show, of our guest and everything that happens here, the joy, the laughter, the silliness, the truth, the authenticity, whew, you realize, oh, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Yes, indeed, I am. You are, because that is the truth. Who said? I said. How do I know? I am told me. Whose I am? I am that I am. happy Mother's Day to all mothers. Yes, it was yesterday, but who's taking care of it? Every day is a Mother's Day, but we had that day specially for you. Take this moment to think and just be grateful for the mothers who just gave birth, the mother who are about to give birth, the mother who gave birth, the mothers who went through pain. You know, today's topic is about the globalization of love, the mothers who defied all the odds because they were with somebody who was outside of the so-called race. There's only one race, but you know how humans get. We get very territorial, very possessive about our own way of life. You married outside your race. I give thanks for the mothers who moved on and pushed through the pain. I give thanks for my mother who's on the other side. Those of you who are close to being a mother, but for whatever reason you said, I am not ready, I can't do this. Happy Mother's Day, Jean. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being who you are. Give thanks for the grandmothers, our ancestors, who has brought us to this point. Because of them, we are here. For this, we are grateful. And the work continues. It continues. It's never done. It's an ongoing process. yes, we want to talk about love. I don't have a deep voice, but I just pretend I do. You want to talk about love? Stop it. Okay, well, you can't be serious when you talk about love, okay?
All right, I try not to be serious.
That's my studio manager telling me to relax a little. So anyway, we're talking about love today. We have our guest, Wendy Williams. She is in the house waiting to just do her thing and expand our consciousness. Help us in seeing love in a new way, seeing relationships in a new way. And, let's see here. Let's do this. I don't know what's going on. Let's move this over here. And I'm going to do the announcement, but I'm going to switch something here. So I want my Engineers to stand by. Engineers, stand by. I want to try something here. Woo! Okay.
Engineers, how are we looking? Let me know we're looking good. Yes, yes, yes. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. That's the number to call. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Have you experienced? Are you having a global love experience? Or you couldn't really say, the love is strong, but my family is driving me nuts. I'm tired of being responsible for society's drama. I do this. 347-426-3346 is the number to call. Yeah, I know. My engineers are giving me feedback. Let's keep moving and see what happens. Let's keep going. Oh, yeah, okay, well. All right, we're doing some technical stuff here. Unfortunately, we can only do it while we're live. So we're going to do it differently. Let's do this.
Okay, we're working on this sound thing. We're working on it. It's getting there. Life is good. It's getting better. So let's keep the ball going. Let's keep the love flowing. Let's make the love glowing. And we started the show with Love Glow by Just Cynthia, J-U-S Cynthia. To find out more about her, her website address is JUSSENT.com, JustSent.com. And, yeah. Call in with your questions, share your comments, share your experience, 347-426-3346. If you can't call in, maybe your mother-in-law is sitting in the same room with you and you don't want to hear the conversation. Your father-in-law, why do we always blame mother-in-law? What? No, I'm not going to go off on that tangent. We always talk about mother-in-laws. What about fathers? Yeah, I guess they don't really care. No, sometimes they're the hardest one. Well, anyway, that's not what today's talk. Well, I guess we might go there because the in-laws can be a pain in the bed. Oh, boy, stop it. Okay, so if your parents, grandparents are in the house and they just don't, you know, they just listen to your conversation, you can go to Facebook, Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page. You can put your questions or comments on there or we'll get to you. And what else? Well, if you don't do Facebook because, you know, you did this glow thing, glow love thing, and it took you to another country, and internet, it's kind of hard to get on. Well, actually, no, that's not true. Well, if you don't do Facebook, stay with that. It's lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's an Ask Life Coach Ade tab. Just click on that tab and fill in the information, and the email will come to us. Yes, everyone, that's the truth. Every one of us is an in-law on some level. So, what kind of a mother-in-law are you, Tamara? Are you a great mother-in-law? I want to hear from the perspective of your son or daughter's in-law, not from your perspective. Because all in-laws think they're the best. And the children said, yes, Mom, yes, Dad. Okay, so what else? Where else can you send me information? I think that's it. Ask Life Coach at a fan page, lifeconversationsmedia.com, and the number is 347-426-3346. We have Wendy Williams in the house. We're going to go all the way through to about 1:20. But at 1 o'clock, we have Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, so stay tuned for that. And some quick announcements here. Tomorrow we have Linda Howe joining us. We are talking about the Akashic Records. She's a returning guest. Tomorrow's topic is Sacred Wounds through the Akashic Records, where you can go within and tap into your record and see, wow, no wonder I am in this relationship. Even though society said, no, we shouldn't be that way, now it makes sense that there is a soul journey that we go through. You might experience a lot. But anyway, tomorrow's Healing Sacred Wounds through the Akashic Records. And on Wednesday, we have Colette Baron-Reed, internationally renowned intuitive counselor. We are talking about the meaning of your life, the meaning of your story. Are you stuck? Are you trying to understand it? Well, join us Wednesday. Thursday, we have Jack Armstrong, Lessons, author of Lessons from the Source. And just some other shows that go on here at Life Conversations Radio. On Wednesday, every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, we have Here to Inspire with Aisha at 2 p.m. So make sure you check her out.
And every third Sunday of the month, we have, who do we have all together now? Thank you, Celeste. It is My Authentic Lifestyle with Mo Love. My Authentic Lifestyle with Mo Love every third Sunday of the month. So it should be back in about, 6 days? Is that the third Sunday? It can't be. I don't believe that. Let's see. Wow, it is. Oh, my God. Time is rushing. Speaking of time, let's bring Wendy on. 347-426-3346. And before I read an announcement, let's just connect on a deep level, on a soul level, and just really feel the presence and the truth of who we are. Let's all take a breath together. Yes. Breathe in one more time. And breathe out the breath of life, knowing that right where you are, God is and all is truly well. And time itself is nothing but a marker, an indicator to see if you're on track. So we can release our attachment to time. We can release our attachment to how things look, because the way things look is simply the past. It's simply the end result of what's going on within us. So if we don't like what we're seeing, we change the vibration from within. I am
that. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
That is the truth of your identity, the truth of the identification of the entity called you. Wendy Williams is the author of The Globalization of Love, a book about multicultural romance and marriage. She has lived in 6 different countries and worked internationally for 18 years. Wendy is Canadian, and she has been married to an Austrian for 13 years. Well, actually, I'm sure it's longer than that now, because the bio wasn't written today. She'll tell us. They live in Vienna, Austria, with their daughter. The Globalization of Love is based on dozens of interviews with multicultural couples from around the world. The book includes chapters on multicultural weddings, religion, race, food, language, and children. What a yummy appetite. It is both humorous and factual, and Wendy includes personal anecdotes from her own experience in a multicultural family. To find out more, pick up a copy of The Globalization of Love. Now, for those of you in America, instead of S, put a Z. And those of you who are a little bit, not awake, you're like, this is, see, what is he talking about? Well, globalization. You know, instead of G-L-O-B-A-L-I-S-A, do a Z-A. No matter the letters, it sounds the same. So that's how you find it. That's a website address, the globalization of love. It's not a political thing. It's actually a romance thing. Let's get ready to bring Wendy on. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest all the way from Austria, Wendy Williams. Hello, Wendy. How are you doing?
Hi, Eddie.
Welcome,
hi,
welcome
Eddie.
To the house. Hi, we can hear you very loud and clear, actually.
Thanks for the introduction.
You're very welcome. So what time is it in Austria right now?
It's just after 6 p.m.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, almost like dinner time. Okay, good. So it's not too late. That's good. Well, let's jump right on in. So I've read a little bit about you, and there's so much going on in our lives, and we're constantly changing, evolving, and revolving. But I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Wendy Williams?
I am the author of the book, The Globalization of Love. And I think in addition to being a mother, being the author of The Globalization of of Love is my main role in life right now. And I don't know if you mentioned in the introduction, I'm from Canada. So I'm a Canadian citizen. I grew up in Northern Ontario, where it's very cold, and in the wintertime at least. And I grew up in a multicultural family. So I have a British Ukrainian Canadian background, and then I married an Austrian, and now I live in Vienna, Austria. So I sort of had this multicultural theme going on in my life, from day one.
Skype is doing what Skype does, but we're just going to send energy to Skype so that we can get through this interview and it sounds and it lets us hear your voice the way it's supposed to sound rather than another voice.
You have the Darth Vader voice on now.
What the listeners say, she sounds like she's got gremlins around. But yeah, it's clear now. We get rid of the good. Let's get rid of the gremlins right now. Let's get that magic sword out. Yes. Being a mother, I say parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. You know, so that's something. It's not for everybody, but once you are chosen or you say yes to it, you can't help but show up. It's like, oh God, I love my baby, but God help me. God said, I did. I gave you a child to make you be more of who you know yourself to be.
Exactly.
Oh boy. Now, so let's start from the beginning of the book, The Globalization of Love. I really want to start from a basic but a complex place, because we throw love around, the globalization of love. Oh, I'm in love. Love is what we are. We're all love. We throw that four-letter word around, and that word is like, wait a minute, stop throwing me around. Get to understand me. I want to ask you, what is love? How do you define love?
Oh, that's an interesting question, and I'm asked that in interviews on occasion because of the title of the book and the nature of the book. And it's funny that in being asked that question, even though I wrote a book with love in the title, I don't always think about so much what it means. And it seems that on different days of the week and on with different interviews, my answers are changing a bit. So I think love is indeed a very complex phenomena or state of being, and really I think it's all encompassing, and it weaves its way into every aspect of our life. There's love with a romantic partner, there's love with your children, and I always like to say I also love animals. I love chocolate. So it's hard to just answer that question in with one sentence. I think you really have to focus in and be specific. What are you referring to? And in the globalization of love context, what was very interesting, what I discovered through doing the interviews with couples from all over the world, that definition of love, as vague and complex as it is, even within each individual, it also differs culturally. And the understanding of what it means to love somebody and how love is expressed is very different around the world.
I mean, love is it must be one of the greatest secrets. Like, if you can figure it out, you figure out the code to life, because we have family members who would love their children, the daughter, the son, but when they marry or date somebody outside of the culture, outside of the race, somehow that love gets tainted. We want to take the love back. We want to disown the child. But we're going to go deep more into that. But before we do that, let's go a little bit. As you were talking about your story and I read your bio, it's like the globalization really is partly your autobiography, and you wanted to know anybody, other people who are sharing that with you. What's the premise behind the globalization of love?
Well, the book is autobiographical only in the sense that I include personal anecdotes as examples. And the reason I did that is because I interviewed so many other couples for the book. And of course, I revealed all of their challenging stories and their embarrassing stories. And I thought it would be only fair, as you know, as being one half of a multicultural relationship, that I also include some of my own anecdotes. And so what I did is I interviewed all of the couples, and as I was doing that, the themes for the chapters kind of developed on their own. You know, so that's how I put the book together, in terms of the chapters, that every couple that I interviewed seemed to have the same kind of themes. You know, as you mentioned at the beginning, food, children, where they live, religion, race, and so on.
So what was the catalyst? What happened that made you say, you know, I want to find out more about this? What happened in your life to trigger you to say, let me look more into this life called multiculturalism? Yeah.
You know what's neat? There really was a catalyst moment. Like, I think as I said, I grew up in a multicultural family and have been witnessing this multicultural dynamic my entire life. But it was only when I married an Austrian man that I started recognizing that sometimes we would have issues. You know, we'd have a disagreement or something would be not quite right, and I started to notice that. It would take us like 2 or 3 years to resolve the issue. And what would happen is that we would find out that it wasn't about personality and about being stubborn and pigheaded. It was just that we were reacting to a situation based on our cultural framework and our cultural value system. And in our circle of friends, we have a lot of international friends as well who are also in multicultural relationships. And I just noticed, particularly, you know, when the girlfriends sit around together and nag a little bit, I noticed that there were patterns, and that it didn't matter where the multicultural couple was from, it doesn't matter what the constellation of countries or cultures is, there seemed to be the same set of issues that are affecting every multicultural couple. And one day I was talking with a girlfriend, and on this issue about different cultural perspectives within marriage, within relationships, and so on. And as I was walking home from her place, I thought, this is the globalization of love. And that was this really moment where I knew that it was I needed to write a book about it.
You know, in your book, you interviewed different people, as you shared earlier, and and as I was saying at the beginning of the show, there are lots of us that have different religious beliefs, different spiritual beliefs, and even people who don't believe in God, if they listen to a song that says, love is what we need, love is what we need. But somehow that concept, that idea, that conversation, if you will, it's challenging to live out. It's challenging when someone we love, when our daughters, when our sons marry somebody else that we consider to be outside of our race, outside of our culture, outside of our village. What do you think that's about? What is it about humanity that we are challenged to allow the ones we love to experience the love that would help them be more of love?
Yeah, well, I think what happens is it starts with expectations, and the expectations that we have of ourselves and what we expect in life and what we expect from our children, if we have them, is culturally programmed. We don't know that. We're not really aware of that because we grow up in a culture and we're influenced by things like religion and language and cultural festivals and traditions and so on. And all of that is being integrated into, you know, and even programmed into our DNA. And so a lot of our own cultural beliefs, we believe in them so deeply that we think they're our very own. We think that it doesn't matter where we would live in the world, and it doesn't matter where we even grew up in the world. This is the way I would think, and this is what I would believe in. And that, of course, leads to our expectations. So with parents of grown children, may have expectations about who their son or daughter is going to marry. And when the choice of partner is somehow outside of that zone of expectations, then it leads to, you know, sort of a disappointment and kind of it indicates kind of a failing, you know, and the mother or father thinks, wait a minute, that doesn't fit into the picture. And if it doesn't fit into the picture, then it must be wrong. And I think that's how it sort of starts, starts churning.
So sometimes, even though parents say, I love my children unconditionally, it's not completely true. There's a conditional love. The condition is, I love you and please marry into our race, into our culture. And because if you marry outside, quote unquote, outside of the race, the culture, the tradition, the village, then you're going to bring up my issues. And I don't want to go through that. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So how long have you been living in Austria now?
How long have I lived here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've been here for 15 years. Yeah.
Wow. So
yeah, it's kind of a lifetime.
Exactly. You know, you're Austrian now. You're Austrian Canadian, Canadian Australian. You know, you're just a global citizen. That's what it is. You're a global citizen.
I am a global citizen. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. For you, I want to ask you your personal experience here when we talk about globalization of love. You said you grew up in a multicultural family. What was your family's response when you, I don't know if you brought the Austrian man home, or you told them when they found out, were they accepting of it, or was it a bit of a challenge?
Ade, I was over 30 by the time I brought anyone home that I would marry. So my parents were absolutely delighted. No, but they were like, thank you for marrying our daughter. You know, they were thrilled.
Oh, but, God.
You know, but what's really kind of neat, they also saw it almost in terms of completing the circle. And when you think of the geography and where England is and where Ukraine is and where Austria is. And so even though both of my sets of grandparents went over to Canada and had their children there, I'm now back, you know, in Europe, and I'm kind of halfway between the two countries that my grandparents are from. And so that's kind of neat, you know. And so my parents said it's like I'm completing the circle, and it's just a natural part of life to and perhaps that's programmed as well because they were both children of immigrants. So this idea of change and marrying somebody from another country was not so foreign or alien to them.
Right. And which goes back to really what you said earlier about expectations. You know, if our consciousness is not broad, if our awareness, if we haven't had experiences take us outside of ourselves, outside of what our parents taught us, if we've lived in the same country, if we lived in the same town, in the same state, then our expectation could suffocate us. But for those who've experienced other part of the world, who've traveled, not better than, it's about awareness, it's about knowing, it helps us be more accepting, more willing to look at life from a different perspective. And I can see that. So for you, it was kind of like a natural progression. Yeah. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on lifeconversationsradio.com. My guest is Wendy Williams, not the other Wendy Williams, that other Wendy Williams, still what she does. This is Wendy Williams, who is uniting the world. Stop it. Anyway, Globalization of Love is the name of her book. And website address is, isn't it, Globalization of Love, right? Yes, it is. Globalizationoflove.com. And check it out, and there's blogs on there. And if you're in a multicultural relationship, if maybe you've experienced it, maybe whatever you're dealing with in relationship, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And as Wendy said earlier, you know, she finds that even though she spoke to different multicultural couples, the challenges were the same because no matter where we're from, how we classify ourselves, separate ourselves, we are all human beings experiencing life and we're having the same challenges. 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. If you can't call in, then now you can go to Facebook, Ask Life Coach at a fan page, Ask Life Coach at a fan page on Facebook, or go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. Now, Wendy, let me ask you this. Through your interviews, was there a common challenge that multicultural couples went through that was just consistent in everybody that you talked to?
Yes. Yes, there were many. There was a list, but the one, let's say, issue that came up in almost, I would say, every single couple that I spoke with concerned the location where they lived. And that was something that is always open for debate, you know, because in a multicultural couple or international couple, then typically, at least one of the partners is living abroad. They're living away from their home country. And that in itself has challenges, you know, regardless of a relationship or a marriage, just living abroad is something different. And how that issue kind of weaves its way throughout the relationship. And the couple may also live even in a third country where they're both far away from home. So that was kind of a tricky issue. And the reason why is, even though people like to think, you know, I'm a global citizen and I can live anywhere, and that's true, we can live everywhere, but we can't necessarily realize our dreams everywhere and live the life that we want to live everywhere. And so there are issues, for example, with language, you know, and so if you don't speak the language of your partner's country, of course you're going to learn it. But one, that takes time. And two, many languages are simply difficult to learn. And even though you can, you know, usually manage to get to a certain level of fluency within a year or within 2 years or even less, in order to become really well and truly, you know, conversant and fluent in a language and be able to not just chat with the neighbors, but also to, you know, to negotiate and to debate and to, you know, to sign a legal document, that takes years and years and years. And some people never achieve it. So there's always, you know, the language issue going on, depending on the country where you are. That may affect the partner's ability to work in the field where they've practiced. If they have a professional designation or some kind of education, it may not be recognized in the country where the couple is living. And so that renders one partner, in a situation where they are not just in a multicultural relationship, but they're also trying to negotiate a new career path and working on that. And then the expectations about how to raise the children is so dependent on where the couple lives. So there's a lot of spin-off in that. And also what happens is the desire to live in a foreign country may change as the years go on. And so sometimes a couple will meet in one country and be very happy to live there, but after a few years, one partner doesn't want to anymore. And, you know, and so some couples actually end up, you know, moving back and forth between countries, you know, 5 years here, 5 years there kind of thing. So that was one issue that came up, and it seems to permeate the relationship and come up for discussion, you know, every 6 months or every 12 months throughout the relationship or with the multicultural couple. So that was definitely one theme that I noticed.
So part of the excitement or the gift of multicultural relationship, be open to so much more. If you're open to marry into something so-called different, or someone, a culture, a tradition that's different from what we're used to be open to a lot more differences, to grow and expand. And I want to go back to sort of like the beginning, you know, because this is something that, you know, everybody would go through. In your chapter, in your book, you have a chapter called Meet the Parents. And in the chapter here, he said, and I love how you put it, he said, in a multicultural relationship, whether you are interfaith, interracial, or at a different ethnic background, meeting the parents is a bit like an international summit meeting on global peace. Various family representatives come together, hopefully in a peaceful manner, knowing that there are things about the other factions that are different, maybe not desirable, and sometimes downright weird. Yes, the goal is the same: peace, harmony, and the globalization of love. You become an ambassador for your faith, your race, and all culture. Yeah, that's kind of heavy. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a huge responsibility for the partner going into that situation, because suddenly what is very typical is that if the family has never before met someone from your culture, from your religion, from your race, etc., everything that you do and say will be attributed to your culture, your race, or your religion. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
So when I, for example, within my family, within my Austrian family, when I, if I eat something that's different, if I, I don't do something that's different, they say, oh, that's the Canadian way, you know? Oh, that's because she's Canadian. and when in fact it may not be true. It's, you know, and I may do things that are very atypical of Canadians, actually. But so that's one a tendency. So suddenly the partner, you know, they're facing a family and they become really representatives of their cultural heritage. And then secondly, of course, this may be the first time that the family, you know, has met somebody from outside of their cultural realm. Often there's international travel involved, you know, so people have jet lag or they're tired from traveling and, you know, the climate is different, the food may be different, the customs are different. So it's a bit of a stressful situation. And you go from, you know, being absolute strangers to living together under one roof. You know, usually the partner who flies in to meet the new family will stay with the parents of their partner. And, you know, so suddenly you're living in your future mother-in-law's house as a guest. And, you know, rather than when you marry the, or, you know, when you're partnering with the boy or girl next door, your parents already know each other. Or if you live, you know, in the same town, at least you can all go out for dinner and then, you know, all parties separate and go in their different directions and kind of chill out a little bit. But in the globalization of love context, when you are meeting your families for the first time, it tends to be very intense for both sides. And there's a lot of pressure to get things right. What I experienced as well is when the parents tried to be very welcoming as well, it could still lead to, you know, awkward situations or just embarrassing situations that that for the foreign partner, you know, really would challenge just the way they grew up. I mean, one woman told me how she an American woman went over to Germany, and in Germany, within the household, they're much more relaxed about what they wear. So she said the very first evening that she was staying at her boyfriend's house, she was lying in bed, and her future father-in-law walked into the bedroom wearing his boxer shorts.
Whoa.
And, you know, she was just saying, you know, this is just, you know, too intimate too quickly, and, you know, please put on your trousers. I, you know, she just didn't want to have that level of intimacy, and she said she's never even seen her own father in his boxer shorts. Remind her future father-in-law. So things like that, you know, can be, you know, they're just simply awkward and a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, my guest is Wendy Williams. She's calling from Austria and using Skype, so just bear with us. The sound goes in and out, but you can still hear it. And I'm just hold the energy. Know that all is well. Wendy's website address is globalizationoflove.com. And you, with globalization, instead of, if you're in America, instead of the, or wherever you are, just put an S rather than a Z or a Z. It's funny to hear you say trousers. You know, I haven't heard that in a long time. You know, it's pants and pants, but see, trousers, like, trousers, oh, my God, I haven't heard that in a while.
Yes.
Let's talk about another interesting aspect of relationship, period, marriage, marriage or couples coming together, but in the context of globalization of love, children, raising children. What kind of challenges do couples experience in that area?
All kinds of challenges. That's the one issue where, you know, multicultural couples, they may say, oh, you know, we don't notice cultural differences and we're multicultural and it's no big deal. But once you throw a child into the situation, often things change. And again, it gets back to expectations because, of course, when multicultural couples have children, then each of them, firstly, they have an expectation about how to raise that child, and they refer back to their own upbringing, as a reference point. They may not want to replicate it, but that's certainly a reference point. And especially the good things from their childhood, of course, they want to bring that into their child's life. And then, of course, the what's very interesting, often the religious issue suddenly comes up. So even the most, you know, secular multicultural couple who married at City Hall and never really thought about religion as being a part of their relationship, suddenly, you know, when you've got little Junior there, they're you know, each partner is jostling and trying to stamp their religion and their culture on the child. The really fun part of what I enjoyed so much in the interviews was hearing the stories of how the baby gets its name. And this is really, you know, this is like an Olympic, it should be an Olympic sport, because the multicultural couple, they really, they're, you know, each family is trying to get the first name in that's representative of their sort of language or their background or a family name or something. And so often multicultural children will have several names, you know, they from each different culture. And you know, it's really fun. And you see this with, you know, with Heidi Klum and Seal. And if you've ever, you can Google this and see the names. All of their children have like three or four different names, you know, first names, and they're just this jumbly mix of different cultures, and it's really kind of fun to read it.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I'm from Nigeria. I was born in England, and my older sister, she was born in Nigeria, but she lives in England now, and her son has a son. And so basically they call him actually Jay. He has an English name, let's put it that way. And when I talk to my older sister, basically she's a grandmother now, she's like, I don't know who you're talking about. This one, she just goes into saying what she calls him, and she just so adamant about it. It's like, it's not that deep. But I understand that. I get it. It's like, just relax a little. There's more causes to fight rather than something like that. But, you know, as being Nigerian, born in England, I was born in England and went back to Nigeria, and I spent most of my childhood in Nigeria. But you talk about cultural differences. One of the experiences that will forever live with me was when I came back to England. I was in college. And now, growing up in Nigeria, if someone is older than you, you don't call them by their first name. You either say Auntie so-and-so, like Auntie Wendy, Uncle John, or if you have a child, they will say John's mother or John's father rather than the first name. So we're taught how we say it, respect, never to disrespect someone that's older than you. So when I came back to England, I was in college one day, and we're in a classroom, and something was happening, and the teacher was talking to another student. And it was kind of lighthearted. And then the student, Robert, I'll never forget his name, Robert said to the teacher, the teacher's name is Errol, he said, Errol, well, actually, I had issues with the fact that you can call your teacher by the first name. That was hard. But I got used to that. And when they were talking in class, going back and forth, there was all the other students in there. And the student, Robert, said to the teacher, Errol, shut up. Instantly, without even thinking, I went, what? I said, what? Because I'm thinking, oh my God, he just told the teacher to shut up. I knew all hell was getting ready to just break open. And everybody was looking at me. And I'm thinking, why are you looking at me? And then I realized, I'm in a different country. It's okay to tell a teacher something older than you to shut up. Because in Nigeria, you tell a teacher to shut up, oh my God, you're going back home in pieces. I mean, it was so shocking. I looked around, I felt embarrassed that, you know, and I was concerned that a young person told another adult to shut up. And that experience was such, if there ever was a cultural shock, that was one that always stands out for me. So there's always this dance we got to do and, you know, kind of accept or tolerate. I still struggle with sometimes young people calling an adult by their first name, but I have to just bring myself, well, relax, man. Relax, relax. But it's a dance. It's a dance. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do why do I keep calling Celestial Moment Ancestral Blueprint? Celeste, I don't know what's going on. But we're going to do Celestial Moment with Celeste a little bit early now.
And but we're going to take a break. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. When we come back after Celestial Moment, we want to talk about, you know, talk to Wendy and ask her how, you know, people who are dating somebody from a different culture, a different tradition, a different village, and what they should bear in mind, what to be aware of, and how to make it work, any challenges to maybe they will encounter. Number is 347-426-3346. We're going to take a break, and while we're doing that, we invite you to share the show with your friends by texting it or tweeting it, liking the page right now so you can post it on Facebook. You know, start a conversation. Maybe you are in a multicultural relationship, or maybe your brother, your sister, and you just can't stand it. Well, maybe this is your opportunity to heal, to expand yourself, to expand your consciousness. And just remember also that the show, all the shows are archived. You can download them right after the show, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes after the show. It's there to download. We're on iTunes and on liveconversationsradio.com. So there's many ways to listen to the show and re-listen to the show and be transformed. Let's take a break. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on liveconversationsradio.com. And you want to make sure that you don't go a day without Life Coach Ade. Why? Les Brown, please tell me.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY. Purposefully loving and appreciating you. A weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will.
Mom?
Dad, it's me.
We need to talk about sex.
I know you don't want to.
You think I'm too young.
You're afraid if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
You're Pookie Bear.
You're Lammy Lumpkin.
You're Bubby Chubbs.
But come on, talk to me about sex. Tell me you want me to wait. Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
I know you want me to wait to have sex. So don't wait to tell me. Talk to me.
Tell me to wait.
And guess what? If you go to forparents.gov, you can get help on how to talk with me about sex.
Look, this is important. Come on, Dad.
Let's do this, Mom. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
And don't worry. I'll always be your little muffin head. Your ginger snap. Your pumpkin face.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the community.
Yes, indeed, we are giving a voice back to the community. We're activating your power, your throat chakra, to express your truth.
to express yourself, to experience life and experience more of what life is. Today we are talking about the ups and downs of multicultural relationships with Wendy Williams. She's the author of The Globalization of Love. The Globalization of Love. Isn't that what life is about? The journey here is to really spread love around through your belief system, in spite of your belief system, the ideas and the mental constructs, your resistance. Because you know why? There is only love. There is only love. Love, and our job, our duty, our responsibility is to see that love in things or people or culture or ways that are different from ours. That's why we're here. That's the purpose, to see love where we didn't see it. And even when parents are being mean, being whatever you want to call what in-laws are doing, it's because there's such a strong love for their child. It's because there's such a strong love for their daughter, their son, that they just say, no, it can't be that way. So it's an interesting thing, you know, because if there wasn't love, they won't care who their daughter is getting married to, sleeping with, dating. But because love is there, that love itself sometimes is what causes us to just kind of get in the way. So we learn to release, we learn to let go. We remember that there is only love, and your job, your responsibility is to see the love. Karen Drucker, there is only love, KarenDrucker.com, to find out more about her. Now let's step into, I got to think about this because I keep calling it ancestral blueprints. For some reason, I don't know why, what's really going on. I guess when you tap into the celestial realm, you're tapping into ancestors, and where everything is good, and where your strength lies. So, yeah, anyway, but Mondays around 1 is Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I'm getting ready to bring her on. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing? You feel the slow movement? And hey, Celeste.
You just wanted to hear me laugh. Hello, Life Coach
yes.
today, and hello, Wendy. You guys are having a great show. I'm having so much fun listening to the both of you. And I'm seeing the stories, too. I wanted to share with you, Wendy, I was scanning and checking out your book and loving it. And you mentioned one of my favorite women. At the very beginning, you mentioned Moses' wife, Zipporah. And I've done a lot of research on her. I mean, people don't usually think about Moses being in a multicultural relationship. I really appreciate you bringing that to the forefront. And you know what's funny? There was a question that was, how would you evaluate Moses' chances for relating with relations? This is actually on the internet. Like, somebody has a study guide about this. And my question is, well, did Moses have Wendy's book? Because I'm sure he had some trouble. So I want to thank you so much for that. It's been wonderful, and good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that is showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift. A couple of days after a last quarter moon, I hope you release what is not serving you to embrace the new moon coming up at the end of the week. It's time for some spiritual house cleaning and really connecting with our inner beauty. The planets are lining up to dance. Are you ready? It's Monday, May 14th, 2012. When we add the date, we get 2031. Add 2031, and the energy of the day equals 6. The sixth letter of the alphabet is F, and words like fantastic, fire, and force connect us to the magical power 6 with its full expansion and expression. This is the peace lover. The number 6 is a loving, stable, and harmonious vibration, and it is ruled by Venus. Our sixth chakra is our third eye chakra and awakens when we truly know ourselves. We can see through the shadows when we are in love with ourselves. When we do that, we get some serious energy to attract the love we want by being the love we want. I want you to fall for you today. Six also expresses its lovers in tarot, and that's where we are going to put the spotlight and a special dedication to a couple celebrating 22 years of wedded bliss. Congratulations, Dave and Kimberly. May your magic rub off on everyone who hears my words. I love love. People like to get excited when the lover's card comes up in a reading. It usually features a man and a woman in a deep embrace. We start thinking happily ever after. However, the symbols on the Mother Peace card for lovers has Greek vases featuring stereotypical images of being swept away by romance. We want to graduate from that experience and experience our own blending of the sacred masculine and feminine represented by the yin and yang drawing toward each other to meet in the middle of a rainbow prism on the card. Then right past those figures are two yellow beings glowing with yellow power at the opening of a rose arbor. The sun shines on them. They are complete and whole, not because they have each other. They are complete and whole because each person has done their own inner work. And here's a surprise. They will be constantly evolving. The lover's card is not about obtaining love. What we're really talking about is attraction. What are you pulling to yourself today? Envision love as freedom, and you find yourself creating a life with no limitations and boundaries. Love without conditions is found from a fearless, open heart. And then you'll always be home, whether you have a partner or if you are alone. We attract what we are. So let's just stay in love. And that's the story of six, told through the lovers of Mother Peace Tara. All is well. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, indeed. Who could have planned it? You know, we're having a conversation about love on a day when the number adds up to six. The lovers. There is a divine plan in everything that is going on. All we've got to do is say yes and surrender. So when love pulls you to another country, just say yes. It may be challenging, but just say yes. And if you're really, really scared or not, and you're embracing it, just pick up this latest Bible. It's been around for a little while. It's a Bible called The Globalization of Love. You can then see that, oh, I'm not alone. Oh, my God, I thought I was crazy. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you for tying it together nicely, as you always do. Celestial moment every day, officially at 1, but it's normally around 1. That's how she says it. life is good. It's getting better. Before we release Wendy, I'm going to go here. Why not? We're grown folks. Before we even talk about things for people to look at, you know where I'm going.
I know exactly where you're going.
Especially when it's like we're grown folks. It's like, oh, okay. So before we talk about advice for people who are in a multicultural relationship and dating and things are getting kind of serious, before we talk about that, let's talk about the glow love sex. What is that like? What is it like when, you know, we have different beliefs about body parts and what we do, what's forbidden, what, you know, what kind of challenges do parents, couples go through in this beautiful experience called the globalization of love?
Okay, well, thank you for that question. It is kind of a fun question. And, of course, a lot of people, or almost everybody, wants to know about it, but they're a little bit afraid to ask sometimes. And so what I found in the interviews with the multicultural couples is it was something very basic, okay? Firstly, the mechanics of sex. It's pretty much, you know, it's a standard kind of thing, right? There are no big surprises there. But so that was very straightforward. But what is not so straightforward is really the meaning of intimate relations and the dynamic around it. So there are simple things like who initiates and what does it mean when somebody initiates an intimacy in physical contact, and how is it perceived between men and women? And depending on their culture, you know, there may be some very pleasant surprises, but also some unpleasant surprises. So sometimes, for example, if a woman makes the first move, you know, is that okay? And in some cultures, it's perfectly, you know, it's standard and acceptable. In other cultures, a man may be very shocked and even feel threatened by it. And even when things heat up, you know, in the bedroom, I like to just use the example of the woman on top, you know, and in some relationships in cultures, you know, that's trying to, you know, sex things up a little bit. And in other cultures, the man would really perceive that as kind of a vulgar position to be in, and he would not feel comfortable with that because he thinks it's his role to be on top, you know, because he's the man. And so there are a lot of subtle and sometimes not so subtle cultural issues surrounding, you know, sexual activity and intimacy and physical touch.
Mm-hmm. So really, I mean, kind of moving into the area of advice for or just sharing wisdom and insight for people who are in a multicultural relationship is not only should they shouldn't just focus their energy on how their family and parents are going to deal with it, but they really need to pay attention to how they're going to deal with things that they haven't anticipated or haven't thought about or talked about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, for sure. It's funny because sometimes two people will go on a first date together, and that's where it all starts. Even their expectations of what is a good first date, and what does it mean, and from the beginning to the end, you know, from picking someone up to picking the woman up from home, meeting her family or not meeting her family, opening doors or not opening doors, picking up the tab and paying for dinner or sharing the bill for dinner, and then what happens on the way home from dinner, and will they spend the night together, or is there, you know, a kiss at the front door? And all of these kind of expectations are very much culturally based. And but if the couple, you know, if they could survive those first few dates and figure things out, then they just need to sit down together and start learning about each other and not assuming that they're operating on the same sort of dating field, and
right.
that they may understand. Or have a different understanding of what a relationship is and then in the future what a marriage is.
You know, as I listen to you, it's like the whole thing about relationships, romantic relationship are very challenging. And I want to ask you, how is a relationship, a multicultural relationship, different from one that isn't? You know, maybe somebody who lived in a state or a town, just use America, for example, and they marry somebody from the same community, same town, same state, so they kind of understand each other. How is that really different, other than the obvious, when it comes to the mechanics and how we navigate relationships?
Yes. Well, there are two ways to look at the differences. Firstly, that what I say is that multicultural couples, they simply have more issues to deal with in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So for the point of simplification, what I say, in monocultural relationships, where people have the same cultural background, what they have to deal with in the relationship is money, sex, and laundry, right? And those are kind of the three dominant themes, more or less, in the relationship.
Right.
And with a multicultural relationship, they have the money, sex, and laundry issues in addition to the religious issue, the race issue, the location issue, the language issue, and things like that. So it simply adds more exciting variables to the relationship. Okay, so that's one way to describe the difference. But just on a daily basis, what happens often in multicultural relationships is that, you know, we're not always aware of things that are cultural, and it, you know, we don't, where does personality and culture begin, or vice versa? So it's not that all issues in a multicultural relationship are due to cultural differences, but sometimes they are. And so sometimes there are issues going on, and the, you know, something nagging at a couple for a long time, and it may take them a while to figure out that it's not so much about their different personalities, but their cultural framework is different, and they're looking at this issue from a different perspective. So that's kind of one of the, let's say, the main difference as well.
Well, before we release the show, let's take this up a notch. It really, and I don't know if you've interviewed couples like this, because it just came to me. Have you spoken or interviewed multicultural same-sex relationships and the challenges that they go through?
Yes, I did. Yes. And they have also, they have even more issues than multicultural issues, multicultural couples, sorry, because of, you know, firstly, the homosexuality is not accepted in so many different cultures. So there's, you know, this whole issue of secrecy and who knows and who doesn't know and when do they come out of the closet and when do they not come out of the closet. And particularly in international relationships is the issue of marriage is very big. And now what President Obama said last week is really very groundbreaking. It may be that a lot of multicultural gay and lesbian couples are flooding into the United States so that they can marry there, because that's in countries where same-sex marriages are not recognized, a couple has a really difficult time getting together. So how is somebody going to, you know, get the residence permit and get a work visa in order to live a normal life together? And marriage is, you know, the fastest route to do that. And so with same-sex couples, they really have that additional challenge. So from the administrative perspective, let's call it, or bureaucratic perspective, and then also from the social perspective. And, you know, sometimes they may live in a country where they can be open about their homosexuality. However, in their home country, they may not be as open. So when they go home to visit their family, they don't tell them about their same-sex partner, for example, and they leave the same-sex partner at home, and that can be very, very hurtful and very frustrating. So they really do have many challenges.
Some countries. Yes, and then you got the relationship issues. You know, then you got the personal issues. I mean,
yeah,
whole country. I think people who are in the same-sex relationship and there's a multicultural relationship and they're living in a different country, oh, boy, they must be some serious spiritual beings. They're here to teach you some lessons, and we better pay attention. You know, some countries, they imprison people who are into same-sex relationships. I mean, some places they will kill. It's just what we do to one another. It's all of this, I'm grateful that we're talking about it, or you're writing about it. We're having conversations on the television and the president, and I support it. Because it's really time for us to ask ourselves deeper questions, to start asking different questions. What makes us human? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? Marriage, what is marriage? What does it really mean? You know, and I think that's how we completely globalize love. But it's an ongoing journey. So as we get ready to release the show, a couple more questions. I want to ask you, for people who are in a multicultural relationship, maybe they're still dating and they haven't introduced their partner or their friend, to their parents, what would you say to them?
Well, you know, best wishes. It's the first thing in a multicultural situation is.
But I know you didn't mean that.
Both partners need to go into the relationship with compromise on their mind. You know, they really need to be adaptable and be ready for change. And if they're not ready for change, then this is not, you know, the partnership is not going to work out. So I really encourage that and sort of emphasize that it's necessary to be flexible about, you know, the relationship and your approach to it and the ideas that you bring into it. On the other hand, what I also say, and sounds somewhat contrary, but that is, don't change too much. You know, you cannot give up yourself completely, because then you're not you anymore, and after a while, you're not going to be happy anymore if you're not you.
Right.
And this is a danger sometimes when somebody moves to a new country and then suddenly they're immersed, you know, they have their partner, they're in this new country, new language, new family, friends, food, everything is new and different. And they become so immersed and they become, you know, a part of they try to become a part of their new culture. and which is wonderful, and it's important to adapt, as I say, but it's also important to hold on to who you are culturally and also, you know, in terms of your own personality. So those are the two things: is one is adapt, and two, don't adapt too much, and three is be prepared for a lifetime of negotiation, because the issues that a multicultural couple faces, it comes up repeatedly, and sometimes, as we mentioned with children, sometimes an issue, there's not an issue when the couple gets married, but when they have children, then there is an issue, or something that was an issue at the beginning is no longer an issue, you know, a few years later. So things are constantly changing, and both partners need to be ready to sort of negotiate on that, and to be adaptable to the situation, and to enable each partner to sort of live their own cultural life to the best that they can.
Right, right. And also what I'm hearing is when you talk about change or don't change, that you lose yourself. It's a constant dialogue. It's a constant communication and talk and share, especially when you're talking about having children. That's something they need to talk about. How are we going to name the children? Not while you're pregnant, before that even happens.
Right.
You know, if we do get married, if we do decide to have children, we're not quite sure we're dating. And, you know, but we got to keep talking. I know some people, a woman might be like, I don't want to talk to him yet about having a child, because I don't want to scare him away. And it could be same-sex relationship. And it's the same thing. It's like, I don't want to bring up children right now. But really, we got to confront our own fears. We got to be bold enough, is what I'm hearing you say, to just be willing to give a little, take a little, but really stay true to ourselves. And that's a lifetime journey, experience, and lesson, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So before we release you, and also the other thing I'll tell people is, if you're struggling, just pick up this latest Love Bible, The Globalization of Love. There's a lot of information in there, so you can just open up chapters. So what do we do? We're about to meet our parents. What should we do? Take a hint from Wendy Williams. Wendy, before we release you, anything you want to share with our listeners, maybe something you want to talk about but that I didn't ask you about, or just something that maybe you're doing a workshop or how people can contact you, anything you want to share with the listeners?
Okay, well, I think I like to close up a discussion on the globalization of love by saying, because we do tend to focus on issues and problems and how complex it is and so on, but really what I concluded in the book is that a multicultural relationship and marriage and family is actually one of the most enriching ways really to go through matrimonial life, and it is a wonderful experience. And that multicultural couples and families become ambassadors for world peace, because they demonstrate, you know, on a daily basis that cultures can coexist peacefully. And I think that's an important message that came out of the book and through the interviews and through this, you know, the learning and tolerance and so on that the couple is experiencing on a daily basis, and sharing that with their family and friends, so there's kind of a multiplier effect. And that's why I titled the book The Globalization of Love. The book, you can find it. It's available on Amazon.com. It's available on almost any online bookshop. So far, the ones that I've checked from in the United States, Canada, around Europe, Australia, and so on, there it's always available. And you can go onto my website as well, globalizationoflove.com. As you mentioned, I love hearing from readers. So if they want to send me an email, I'd be very happy to hear from them. It's wendy@globalizationoflove.com. And thank you very much. It was really nice chatting with you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy Williams, for spending time with us and helping us, you know, as we, those who have chosen to be the ambassador for world peace. I love that. It's like, stepping outside of ourselves, learning, and, you know, just helping people find peace as they bring family and community and the world together. Thank you for your work. Thank you for being bold enough to say, it's just the way it is. Get over it. And love to your husband. Love to your husband and to your daughter. And, we look forward to having you back on Life Conversations Radio.
Thank you, Eddie. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Life is good. It's getting better. It is time to globalize love. Step outside your so-called, you know, it's the health thing. I'm going on a tangent here. There was actually somebody who posed on Facebook one time, what do you think about interracial relationships? I'm like, hello, there's only human in the human race. And some people were saying, well, you just were surprised how so many people are against it. Listen, when you're against something, you're really against yourself. You're against your own happiness. We are all here to be the love, to learn the love, to express the love. And we all have stuff we've got to deal with. Why don't we just support one another? I know it's not going to be easy. Sometimes it's like that challenging experience where your daughter or your son, maybe you're in a relationship, you're in love with somebody that's from a different race, quote unquote, to use the human, well, not the human, the, I guess, society's word, a different race. And you're so attracted to this person, you feel love like you've never felt it, but you're so worried about your family members and you're considering ending the relationship because your family won't approve of it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. that's like doing your, going to college or going for your master's or PhD and after investing so much time in your dissertation and at the end say, I don't want to defend it anymore. I don't want to defend my dissertation. No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. No, don't do it. You came here to be the face of love. You came here to teach others how to be love, how to express love. And it starts with us individually. Let's all join together, even if we're in a relationship or not, a multicultural relationship or not, let's all become the ambassadors for global peace. That's what it's about. That's what we want. We want peace. We want joy. We want happiness, creativity. Well, guess what? You've got to be the change you want to see. Ah, life is good. It's getting better. Let's see. I've got something here I want to share with you from my something my spiritual midwife left us with. And it's always nice to share it. And tomorrow we're talking about the Akashic Records with Linda Howe, a returning guest. Healing, she's the author of Healing Through the Akashic Records. Do you know what that is? Do you know why you experience what you experience? You know, maybe you can look in your family and there seems to be this consistent challenge that you go through. Well, tomorrow you have an opportunity to break through if you're willing. If you are willing, and then on Wednesday we have Colette Baron Reed helping us find meaning to our lives and the stories of our lives. So much going on. Check out lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. And now, this is what I'm looking for. Well, actually, I had it, but I don't have it. Someone said, why were you doing that? It's like, because I got to scroll down. I got to scroll down and scroll up to find what I want to play. So I got to buy time. Here's what my spiritual midwife said about marriage. It's so powerful. Not that long. Just real short. Check it out. Let me feel what you feel about this.
Marriage is the place of a union that creates an incubator space to do holy spiritual work and growth. It's a commitment.
An incubator space to do holy work, you know, to really grow, the space to be more, to be the face of God, to be love, to grow, to try out what you've learned, to try out what's working, to try out letting go, to try out forgiveness. So really, yes, it's important for people to be recognized, but it's important for us as well that whoever you're with, let your marriage, let your coming together be an incubator for your transformation, for your healing, wherever you are in the world. Yeah, life is not for wimps, you know. If you're alive, pat yourself on the back. Pat yourself on the back. And tell yourself you've done amazing work. Because, you know, we humans, we have made it kind of challenging for ourselves. We have all this belief in, I have my own hang-ups. I have my own hang-ups about life. I have my own hang-ups about people that I think are judgmental. I have my own hang-ups about people who tell me, you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't have a problem with Jesus. It's people just telling me that it's got to be a different way. And sometimes I react so strong to that statement. I have to catch myself. It's like, dude, calm down. It's not that deep. People can consider what you're doing the same, just a different way. So, you know, we all have belief system. And just love ourselves enough to break through what we feel, what we're moving through. You know, we all got issues, okay? So let's just relax. We all have issues in our tissues. We all have mess we're dealing with. And if we step into a place of responsibility, then we can be compassionate. Then we could be understanding. Then we become aware that when we're judgmental about other people, when we're judgmental, when we're critical of other people, when everything we do or most part of our life is about gossip and criticism, we can say, oh, my God, I have so much pain going on within myself. I got to check myself. This is Esther Nicholson as we release the show. Esther Nicholson, I believe this belongs to you. Yes, it's all about love. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. Thank you for tuning in to yourself. You have been initiated into love. Allow yourself to share, to expand, to grow. Be loved because you are that. Be true to yourself, and just as important, be loved. Allow the love to come back. It's okay to receive. It's okay to give. That's one movement. Giving and receiving is one. I'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Peace and blessings. I'm out of here. This is Esther Nicholson. I believe this belongs to you.
He said, yes, I am. And the well-dressed man spit on him. King took out his handkerchief and wipe the hate from the suit. He gave it back to the man and said, I believe this belongs to you. I will lift you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.